When Jesus enters the picture, he changes everything.
Hey, welcome to The Breeze. We appreciate your time today and encourage you to head on over to thebreezechurch.com, where you can find the notes for this presentation, as well as links for all that's happening around The Breeze. Our hope is that this message helps move you forward in your faith journey.
Always a special day because it's Mother's Day. We love the moms here at The Breeze. You're amazing individuals. We know there's quite a big workload, and we hope today that you feel valued, honored, appreciated, plus some, right? But we also recognize that today is a day that might bring about some feelings and some longings, some hurts, some pains. Maybe some of you are in here and there's a desire to fulfill something you've always thought that you would fulfill and achieve motherhood. Or maybe there's the first time you spent Mother's Day and you're missing your mother. Or maybe there's family turmoil. Whatever the case might be, I want you to know that you're prayed for, that you're loved, that you're recognized here at this church, and that God still always wants you a part of his house and his home. And so we just want to say, in the spirit of our series this week, we just want to say, welcome home, glad that you are with us. You are seen and you are known, not only here, by your Heavenly Father as well. So thank you, moms. Do me one big favor. Let's give it up for all the ladies in the house. Thank you for being you. So I want to begin with a question as we wrap up our four-part series is this. Have you ever been in a place in your life where you just felt like you didn't belong? Like maybe you're hanging out with a group of friends and you're like, man, I'm not as cool as these individuals. I don't know why I got invited out. Maybe you've been in a season or you're working or you got a job and you feel like, man, I just don't belong. Have you ever maybe recognized that season or that moment in your life? I think many times we come into points and we see areas of life where we felt like that, where we just don't really belong, or we struggle with that battle at times. And if people, we start thinking to ourselves, if people really knew the issues that I've had in life, if they saw into the closet of my life, then they would think I'm a fake. They would think I'm an imposter. They think that I would be someone who wouldn't be able to be recognized, or it would be a house of cards. We call this the imposter syndrome. When you're fearful that people will really find out who you truly are. Have you ever been there? Have you ever struggled with that? I know there's moments in my life when I've been being in ministry and living the life that God's called me to live where I'm like, man, God, I just don't feel quite worthy ever to be a pastor. I don't feel like there's this mantle and I can't live up to it. Or God, I'm a parent and I don't know why you've given me four beautiful, amazing children that I love with my whole heart. Like, I feel like, man, if my kids really found out what a knucklehead I was growing up, then they feel like they could have liberty to live however they want now, right? And we have those moments where we feel like there's some things behind us, that there's this kind of thinking that if people discovered who I really was, then I wouldn't ever be able to measure up. And the question that we need to be asking ourselves is simply this. It's not whether or not that you're good enough. The question is, will you accept this understanding that you truly belong? Each and every one of us, no one's perfect. You're far from it, but you belong. Today, we're going to be looking at this story continued in Luke chapter 15. I want to give you a little clarity of where we're at. Jesus, he's talking to a group of Pharisees, the religious elite, the individuals that think that they have it all together, the perfect people, that they have all the works, they have all the accolades, they had all the looks and the picturesque scene of their life, and that they were the holy of holies, the mightier than nows kind of people. And Jesus is addressing this crowd, and he comes and he talks to them, and he gives them three parables, which are lessons with an applicable point in life. So he's taken on this ruthless audience. He begins with the first parable, known as the lost sheep. And then he goes on to the lost coin. and he's talking to these individuals, and he's giving them this insight. He's talking to this crowd, this evil crowd, kind of malicious crowd. And basically, Jesus says to them, I'm here to change everything. And I want you to know that right now, first and foremost. When Jesus enters the picture, Jesus changes everything. So he gives three parables, and he starts talking. And at the end of the first two parables, in Luke chapter 15, verse 7, he concluded this story, this teaching with this. He says, in the same way, there's more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents and returns to God than the 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. And he concludes that statement. Then he goes into a next statement in Luke chapter 15, verse 10, after he tells the parable of the lost coin. He says, in the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angels when even one sinner repents, even when one sinner goes from how they were living their life and they turn going that way and they turn to God. See, when Jesus enters the picture, he changes everything. And it's important for us to understand that because so many people I've come across with and talked with and spoke with, they say, Pastor Blake, I'm not good enough. I got baggage in my life. I can't make it. Well, we see this beautiful story in Luke chapter 15 when Jesus comes to his final parable of the teaching. And there's this parable of the lost son or the prodigal son. And this man who had every right to feel like he was an imposter. Like he can never add up, he can never measure up, he squandered it all, he made mistakes after mistakes. We nicknamed him Jimmy, if you've been with us these past several weeks, and Jimmy was a knucklehead. He asked Dad for all of his inheritance, and he said, and Dad, sure enough, obliges because that's what a great father does. He helps his children, and then Jimmy gets his inheritance, he goes and he squanders it. Scripture says, in a debauchery kind of lifestyle, meaning he was with prostitutes. He was at the strip clubs, the bars, the casinos. He wasn't going for just a good weekend with the friends. He was going to live his life now in a new setting that was polar opposite of the way that God raised him or the father raised him. And the father, that being this parable in Luke 15, known as God. So we see this beautiful imagery that Jesus paints. And see, when Jimmy comes back, he's done. He's down and out. He's lost it all. He's living in this moment of regret. He says, I have no more. And he turns back to the father, and he comes and approaches, and Jimmy had every right to feel like he was an imposter, but rather when he returns after he blows it and makes mistake after mistake, when rather than receiving rejection, he finds himself in this moment of celebration. So I want to invite you to join me as we continue to look at this story in Luke 15, verse 18. I will go home to my father. This is what Jimmy's saying. Father, I have sinned against you, both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me as a hired servant. So he returned to his father. The long journey ahead, he made Jimmy just kind of, Jimmy was thinking like, hey, how am I going to ever get back in my father's good graces? How am I ever going to be able to enter his home? He sees his father, and his father then sees him, and his father sprints to him, and we celebrated this, and we looked at this story last week, and a little glimpse of it, but as we continue to set up what we'll talk about today, in verse 20 and 23, and while he was still a long way off, the father saw him coming. The father, filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. See, this celebration is about to begin. His son said to his father, I have sinned against both you, against heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. But his father said to the servants, quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Bring the ring and put it on his finger. Bring sandals for his feet. And they killed the calf. The calf that has been fattening, and we must celebrate with a feast. It's this beautiful picture of radical grace, radical forgiveness, that Jimmy once squandered it all, but then was welcomed back. It says Jesus taught these stories and parables. You would look at it and you would read this, and the religious elite people think they had it all together. They would say, okay, that's great.
Like, we get that Jesus welcomes me back. That's great. Story of radical forgiveness and radical grace and love. But then Jesus turns it up a notch. And he actually turns their attention. He says, I want to talk to you specifically, and I want to bring in another character into the story. So in Luke 15, verse 25, Jesus begins to drop a major truth bomb to the audience. Meanwhile, the older son was in the fields working. When he returned home, he heard the music and dancing in the house. And he asked one of the servants, what was going on? The servant responded, your brother is back. He was told, and your father has killed the fattened calf. Now, this is important. The calf, this fattened calf, is for a special use. It's like it has the attention of the family. Like, we're going to put it over in its own little corner. We're going to make sure it's grain fed, that it's not eating anything. It's not eating corn. It's going to be properly handled and taken care of. And we see all this over here, this perfect. And the older brother, we'll name him Frank, right? You know, Frank is like an older brother's name. Frank comes and he's like, wait, what's going on? Why is this happening? Well, your brother is back. He was told, your father had killed the fattened calf, and we are celebrating because of his safe return. Like, we're celebrating. Now, you would think, when you read the story like this, the older brother, he's been loyal to dad. He's talked to dad. He was raised by dad. He observed the father. He said, look how my dad's so successful. Why don't I just follow in my dad's footsteps? You would think that, hey, the older brother has some years under his belt, that he watched dad. He would bust through the doors. He would say, hey, brother, you're back. I love you. I've missed you. And once the tears were done flowing and the crying stopped, they would go back to what was and their great friendship that they had. But this is where Jesus starts anchoring in and pointing the arrow right back to the audience. But the older brother was angry and wouldn't go in. His father came out and begged him. So we see this older brother who's been away from his brother, who's been abandoned. Little Jimmy over here and Frank's over there. And Frank is like, why are we celebrating Jimmy? Like, why are we giving him the prized possession? Like, this doesn't make sense. And he's angry. He's like, I'm not going to go in and celebrate with them, with him. He's a knucklehead. He's a screw up. And the father's like, you've seen, you've lived under my roof. You've been here with me. And he goes out, and scripture says he begged him in some translations, or exhorted him, or he encouraged him. He enticed him, meaning that the father was trying to win back the older brother. Verse 29, but he replied, all these years I have slaved for you, never once refused to do a single thing you told me to do. And in all that time, you never gave me even one young goat for a feast with my friends. Yet when the son of yours comes back, he says, this son, doesn't call him brother, he says, this son of yours comes back. After squandering your money on prostitutes, you celebrate by killing a fattened calf. The older brother was angry with dad. Sobering truth that we need to talk about today. It's very real. It hits home for us because many of us would probably be siding or be resembling the older brother. See, the older brother in this parable that Jesus is teaching to this very religious audience is saying this older brother has an attitude much like you, Pharisees. And I'm afraid on occasion, much like us who gather here today, who watch online. See, the older brother's attitude was like, how could you throw a party for someone who hasn't been loyal? How could you throw a party for someone who's been so distrusting and put dirt on your name? He's thinking, how can you let him come back and not atone for anything and act like nothing has ever happened? How, it's not right. He left us. He owes us. Where's my celebration? Dad, I've been with you for years. I've slaved with you. I've done everything that you've wanted me to do. I did it with an upbeat spirit. I stayed loyal. I stayed faithful. I've honored you. And yet I don't even get a goat to my name. And he gets the fattened calf. I think it's very scary in Scripture. Whenever we come across this parable, the reason Jesus teaches three times in a row to religious people is to make sure his church drastically understands the severity of how we need to have a proper attitude to those who do not know Jesus and to us who do know Jesus. Might sound familiar to many of us. Some language we use, oh man, you know, I like that church, but I really need to find a pastor that really goes deeper, like really gives me the word, you know. And maybe some of you left church and maybe you've come out, or man, I like that church, but man, the music's too loud. I just can't stand it. Like, you know, it's not really holy enough, you know, like I don't like all the guitars. I don't like the music. I don't like the lights. And we start thinking of having some of this attitude, or maybe our language modern day, it talks like this, man, the pastor, he talks too much about reaching lost people. Like, what about me? I pay my offerings. I should have things my way. Like, how come I, like they need to respond to my email when I have a great idea or a great ministry that I think they need to do. Not me, but they need to do. I kid you not, someone once told me this, and I always remember these kind of little lines, like, Pastor, we need to care more about Christians than sinners. Right there, I basically threw the person out of the office, and I just said, look, my friends, I'm glad if you come to church, and maybe you came from a different church or moved into the area, but when we shift churches, eternity scoreboard does not click over, okay? A sinner whose destiny is downright and they're going to hell, they need a redeemer in their life. His name is Jesus. That's where we come in. I tell people all the time, find a church that suits your family's needs. Find a church that's healthy. Maybe this church isn't for you. Maybe you're like, I don't like the preacher. I don't like the music. I don't like the way they do some things. And this is what we do. I tell my guest experience team all the time, we will help you find a church in the area where you can get plugged in, where you can learn God's word, where it can be about Jesus in your life and his redeeming grace in your life, because we're kingdom focused here. But my friends, it is vitally important that we do not operate with this older brother's attitude. So you wonder, Jimmy, on his walk home back to the story, he's thinking, okay, how am I going to respond to my father? He rehearses the line, Father, I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you. But you know, brothers are close. In our family, I'm raising three sons right now, and we're training them and raising them to be close. Like, that's your dude. Like you got his back, and you also hold him accountable. That means when he's acting like a knucklehead, and you can punch him if you want, right? Like, that's how we roll. And it has happened. So, and then I say it's mom's parenting advice, not dad's, right? But I say, and so he's coming back, Jimmy's walking back, and he's like, okay, I messed up against dad, but he's probably thinking, like, what about my brother? I messed up against my brother too. Like, I'm struggling with my brother. Like, I have no relationship with my brother. I left my closest friend in my life, my brother. You had to think that he'd be processing that as well. See, here's what I would lean into when we look at this story. That oftentimes when people struggle coming back, we've been in a series, Welcome Home, where we want to extend our arms to anybody that welcomes home. Oftentimes people know that God loves them, that God will receive them, that the Father will be loving. Where people get really scared is, what's my brother going to think? What's my peer going to think? What's my friend going to think? What's that person who knew me when I was a churchgoer, when I was living for Jesus, what are they going to think when I come back? I think that's some of the scariest things we have to ask. I asked some of my friends, I've been in this series and been talking to my friends, hey, give me real life excerpts from your life. And here's an interesting one of them. One of my friends said, they said this, I'm not upset or think my mistakes in the past are God's fault. I know God is real. I've made real choices that have hurt me. But what keeps me away is that I'm deathly afraid of the people. Another one of my friends said this: I got pregnant and I gave my baby up for adoption to an amazing godly couple who knew that, and I knew that it was appointed of God. It was the most right thing I've ever done. The problem it was, the good Christian folk at my church didn't see it that way, and people called me names and said I made the worst choice of my entire life. See, I want to challenge, God isn't the problem. It's not the father. Often it's the older brother that inhibits people from returning into a life-giving relationship with Jesus. So I know if you're taking notes with me, it's been a while since I've given you something to fill in the blank. I want to give you five today to help you have the right attitude for those who come home, for those who come home. Those who've been afar, those who've been estranged, those who've been like Jimmy. I want to talk to you about having the right attitude of that older brother. We begin here. One, acknowledge my tendency to act like the older brother. You have to acknowledge that you have a tendency to be like your older brother. To be like the older brother. I love one scholar, one theologian, they said this: the more you lean into that tendency and understand that you have that tendency, the more you're aware of Jesus's love. If you don't ever acknowledge that tendency or see that tendency, the more scared that you should be. In other words, that we all have issues. We all think like the brother. We talk like the brother. The more we live and do church and culture and this, and we start thinking things like this: well, while you've been doing stupid things, I've been faithfully serving God. You got what you deserved. We lead and we have this kind of attitude. I've seen your kind before. You'll come in and you'll leave and you'll live like you once did, or you're not worth the trouble. You're just going to screw up again. See, too many prodigals, too many lost people, too many people like a Jimmy that come back to the Father, they're broken, they're down and out, are met more with questions and skepticisms versus the Father's response, which is love and compassion. So when someone comes into the room and some people are struggling, some people are going through some, are you leading with love and compassion? Are you saying like, I see you over there, like I heard about you. Yeah, you're far from God. I know you're far from God. I've seen all your posts on social media. Yeah, a lot of skepticism. But see, we all have a tendency to not measure up, to not live up to what God has called us to. But this is what John writes. 1 John 1:8 says, if we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in truth. One of the greatest prayers you can ever pray over your life is, God, reveal my sin today. How? Reveal my thoughts. How am I treating people? How am I acting? How am I responding? And my friends, it's brutal. There's been personal scenarios and stories where I come and I'm like, God, seriously, man? Like, I don't want to acknowledge that demon in my closet. Like, let me just pretend like I have everything together. The right attitude, secondly, it focuses on forgiveness, not punishment. The dad offered forgiveness and grace. The older brother wanted discipline and punishment. Let's get back what he took. Why is that? Why did Jimmy's older brother, Frank, leave? Like lead like that? Why did he want that? Here's what I believe is true. It's hard for us when people leave. We struggle with that. It's painful. Like, they're brothers and a brother walked away. That's painful. It's painful with people you love and you care for, that you value, and you're like, man, I know this man by the name of Jesus. I know what kind of peace he can bring your life. And they're saying, I'm going to dismiss that. We feel rejected, we feel abandoned, we feel ignored, we feel angry. So when people come back, this is what we want to do. We become skeptical over welcoming. We become resentful over forgiving. We become selfish over graceful. We deserve the party. We never left. God recognizes this, and he responds, and the father says to the older son in verse 31, he said, look, dear son, you have always stayed by me, and everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost, but now he is found. The celebrating, the scoreboard clicked over. But man, it's hard to forgive. It's hard to forgive. Earlier in my ministry career, when I go through, people would hit certain comments, certain things. You know, now there's this thing called Google reviews, right? And one thing that I do is whenever there's pain, whenever there's something that someone says, something that I feel like there might be a sliver of truth, I look at it, I process it, and then I pray about it. And so what I like to do sometimes is just hop on our church, the Breeze Church Google reviews, and read them. And like, I love it because we get 5 stars and then we get 1 star, right? It's like, yeah, it's awesome, right? I want to encourage you right now, if you're getting bored, pull out your phone, give us a good Google review, right? Like, not 3, give us a 5 or a 1, okay? But here's 1 star that basically I'll take right here. This used to be a church. Now it's watered down. They imported a very liberal pastor from California. They took the word faith out of the name and gave it a name like an amusement park. I do like to have fun. The sermons are very superficial. If you just want to go through the motions, this is a place for you. If Christ is the most important thing you want, or if you want to learn about the Bible and have a closer walk with Christ, keep looking for a real Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, walking with Christ church. You know, back in the day, that one used to be, that would be like a stinger. But now I say, God, just pray over this person. You forgive. You say, hey, man, like, I don't know this person. It's no skin in my game. But they need you. They need the Spirit of the Lord, the right attitude that you've called us to lead with, the Holy Spirit to move and work in their life. God, be with this person. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. The right attitude. It's forgiveness over punishment. Thirdly, we respond with love, not lectures. You know, it's fascinating when it comes to love over lectures. We are great at wanting and to get, we are great at giving lectures. We are terrible at listening to lectures, right? Like, we want to lecture people right and wrong. When someone causes hurt, we want to make this grand stand and say, I want you to hear me. You know, in all of Scripture, it's never, there's never a place in Scripture where Jesus says, hey, you know what you need? You need to make your voice known. It's fascinating. Or, you know, like, hey, I need to get this off my chest. We feel like, hey, if I can express myself, I'll be. You know, Jesus never says, hey, if you go and express yourself, that's the right thing to do. No. There's a fragment when we need to acknowledge sin or a sinner and handle some things from a church standpoint. But Jesus never is like, it's not about us. It's not about us. So I think we live in this culture that's like, if I can just get it out, I'll feel better about myself. But there's some things that you just need to take to the grave with you. But you need to just keep your opinion to yourself. Older brother, your attitude, it stunk. Older brother, do you not see that eternity is being drastically changed in this man's life? That your brother who was lost now is coming back. That your brother who is down and out, sinner, messed up, now is redeemed, filled with grace, and experiencing the love that you've already known. But many times we want to lead with a lecture. Verse leading with love. John puts it this way, 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 says, but anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So you got to ask yourself this question. Is your first instinct to lecture, or is your first instinct to love? Like, someone screws up, oh, let me just give them the litany. Hey, your kids make a mistake. Here's the thing, when people come home, when people have been afar, oftentimes people come back into a spiritual relationship with the Lord and come back because they know that something's missing or there's been some mistakes in their past. They're trying to find the right, pure solution by Jesus and who he is. Yeah. So they've already known they screwed up. A lecture is not going to help someone that already screwed up. For the right attitude, we celebrate restoration. We don't relive rejection. Hardest moments I've faced personally that have brought me to counseling before this time in my life, I've always told myself, man, I don't need to talk my feelings out. But one of the driving moments that hurt me so severe in life, something I've processed. Say, what I did, it was like Groundhog Day in my mind. I relived rejection. I relived hurt. I relived pain. My friends, when you live in that re-hurt of life, not saying you don't have to deal with it, but when you're stuck there and you're not looking for restoration, how can I move past? Man, it births bitterness. Psalm 51:12, restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me, the psalmist puts it. 1 Peter 5:10, to an oppressed group of people, and the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, he will restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. Celebrate restoration. Don't keep reliving the rejection. Sometimes you just got to come, and when it comes to relationships, say, hey, I'm glad you're back. We don't need to relive the past. You know why you're here. You know some of the circumstances. I'm glad you're here. The right attitude goes, meet them on the road. Don't let them walk alone. This is a major detail of the story. It's the father's responsibility. We see that the father runs. He sets the standard for the household. He goes and he meets Jimmy on the road. So the father, he's teaching the older brother. The response when someone comes back is simply this, son, go and meet them. Go tell them you love them. Go tell them you care for them. Go tell them how valued they are. There is this moment, there's an individual who's sitting in the parking lot who would always come by and drop his wife off. She would attend service and he would just go sit in the parking lot. Well, the story came back to me. I heard it through the grapevine, and it's fascinating because he would sit in the parking lot, she would attend church. And this happened for basically their whole marriage of 20 plus years. One day, so he finally got to church, and if you share the story with me, he finally got to church because one of the parking lot team members came, knocked on the window, and said, hey, can I help you? He's like, I'm just waiting on my wife. She's in church. Like, you don't go to church? He's like, maybe you should. We got coffee. Less than an hour. I can even give you some donuts. You know, some people, they're in such dire straits right now. They just need someone to say, hey, man, come with me to church. Come with me back home. Come in with me to Jesus. Come with me and let's just talk a little bit. Let's just hang out. Let's go watch a game together. Let's kick it. Let's go swing the clubs. Let's go fishing. Let's go shopping. Let's stay up all night and order things on Amazon and hide it from our spouse, you know, like FaceTime while we do it. I think so many times we say, hey, I see you coming. I see you hurting. Walk toward me. When really, the father's response is, let me come to you. The older brother is, I'm working in the field. I'm doing my thing. I've stayed loyal. And the father's like, but son, you missed what this house is all about. We are about going, not waiting. We are about not working idly. We're about staying present in our disciplines. We are about going and seeing people who need hope, who need safety, who need peace, who need to fill that void by only one way, and that is Jesus's redeeming work in their lives. So we see this beautiful story as we conclude this series. The Pharisees, at this time, they're livid. They're mad. This Jesus, who does he think he is? Talking to us religious people. We have it. You're just saying, yeah, I didn't come for the uppity-ups. I came for the people who think they're in the back row, belong in the back row, who are the sinners, who are the outcasts, the strays, the down-outs that people overlooked. I came for them because I want to bring them hope. The people with the mistakes, the closet, I came for them. They need hope. And he's praying and he's saying, and if you have a relationship with God right now, I want you to capture this. You have to acknowledge your tendency every day to say, God, I don't want to have that kind of attitude of the older brother. I want to have the attitude and the desire of what I learned of the Father. So today I want to wrap up. I want to give you four words. Simply this: forgive, love, celebrate, and include. Forgive, love, celebrate, and include. forgive. Don't allow hurt to make you act like the older brother. Don't allow hurt to stop you from coming home. Love with your whole heart. Love with your whole heart. Love your family. Love those who walk alongside you. Love those who you see. Love those who have rejected you, who have turned on you. Love. Jesus' two greatest commands, love God, love people as yourself. Celebrate, throw a party. Throw a party. I was going to plan to throw a party today, but it's Mother's Day, so I didn't think too many people would stay around for the party. So we did punch and we did some photo ops and hang out. But celebrate. Celebrate the life change that people experience. And then include, don't make them earn it back. Walk with them. Maybe you're in here right now. There's people in your life you just need to walk with. Don't make them earn it back, just walk with. So like we wrap up every moment of Scripture, every time in Scripture, I'm gonna pray, and then I'm gonna give some concluding remarks. But Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says this, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. This whole series has been about welcoming people home. That we want to have that spirit and that heart of the Father to come home. Maybe you're in this place right now. That's your first step. Say, hey, I need to just declare that Jesus is Lord, leader, and Savior in my life. That he died on the cross and that I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead and that Scripture says you are saved. Maybe that's your starting point. And maybe there are those in here. I want to pray for two groups of people here in just a moment, and then we'll wrap up service. But then there's those of us in here. You've battled the older brother attitude. You're like, dude, I'm glad I'm not them. I'm praying right now a conviction of the Holy Spirit upon your heart that you right that wrong of your heart and that you lean and saying, God, I want to be like the Father. Forgive me of the distress. Forgive me of the pain. Forgive me of the rejection. Forgive me of the standard, the skepticism, the criticism over people's life. And you lean in and you say, God, make me like you. I pursue holiness. I'm going to ask everybody if you'll bow your heads and close your eyes. If you're here in this place and you want to start a relationship with Jesus, I'm just going to ask you right now with every head bowed, eye closed, just raise your hand so I know who I'm praying for this week. Thank you. I encourage you, take a moment, fill out the Connect card, mark it. We will call you. We'll journey with you. It's a relationship with Jesus that's life-changing. And Lord, right now, we're praying. We're praying for those who've made a commitment to follow you right now, who are giving their life to you, that they believe where your word is written, that when we believe that Jesus, you died on the cross, and that God, that you, our Heavenly Father, you raised him from, that you raised your son Jesus from the grave, that we are saved. Lord, I'm praying that prayer right now over those individuals who are in their seat backs, in their chairs, watching our line, who are praying that right now. God, lead their lives, move their lives, help them as they are welcomed home. God, I also pray specifically for those in this place who right now have that attitude of the older brother. Lord, we ask right now that you convict our spirits and our hearts. Lord, make our hearts in alignment with you. We give you this time. We give you this glory. May we always pursue you through and through. And in Jesus, your mighty name, we all say, amen.
Thanks for listening today. If you have questions or would like to speak to someone about taking the next step in your faith journey, we invite you to connect with us at thebreezechurch.com. That's thebreezechurch.com. Thanks again for listening, and have a great day.